Hello, everybody. Welcome to Pull Up a Seat with Alex Starr, episode number 25 with Nano Urias. I am super stoked to be putting this out here today. This episode is covering a lot of really cool things. My buddy Nano is a professional roper and firefighter in southern Arizona. A professional roper is basically a badass cowboy that rides around and ropes up cattle in the rodeo and people are screaming. Super cool to watch. Go YouTube, Team Roping. He went from a self-proclaimed class clown, never wanting to try anything for fear of failing, to now being the world champion. He surrounded himself with positive people. How did he choose his mentors? And what is his one tip for really growing substantially in committing himself to the task at hand and becoming world champion, which is, it's unbelievable. And he's a funny, funny guy. And you will think that he is one of the most serious people you've ever met in this show. He just took this opportunity so seriously to get his message out. I was really impressed. So tune in the next few months. I have so many podcasts ready to go that I'm going to be releasing about every 10 days. Everything from a girl I met on Tinder that's in an open marriage. How does that work? I got a middle-aged couple who downsized from a three-bedroom house to two suitcases and are now embarking on traveling the world. How did they downsize? How did they get rid of all of their shit to go do that? I got a cognitive scientist. I got just all types of cool things that I'm stoked to be putting out, and the new site as well. So check that out, and you can see videos of Nano roping. alexstarr.com, and please leave me a review. That would be a huge favor. If you enjoy these shows, if you're getting some value, leave me an iTunes review, email me, Facebook me, Instagram me, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Find me on something, leave a comment, leave a message, drop me a line, and I hope you enjoy this show with Nano Urias.
Welcome to Pull Up a Seat with your host, Alex Starr.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
And does it make you nervous that you don't know the questions that I'm going to ask you?
It's different. Something different. Something, not used to it.
You like the plan stuff, huh?
Yeah. I feel a lot more comfortable if I can know what's coming on.
Get a little closer when you talk. Yeah, get like 6 inches away. Okay, so pretty excited because you're definitely the first professional roper I've ever had on the podcast. For people that aren't cowboys, including me, explain to the listeners what roping is before we get into the story about how you went from a zero to a hero. What's roping?
Well, roping's a sport. It's a team sport where you have a header, which is what I do, and you have a healer on the other end. So ultimately, it's the object of this game is to stop the clock, rope a steer by the horns, turn him, and have a healer rope him by the 2 feet. It's kind of different. There's different ways of playing the game. There's sometimes you got to rope 3 steers, sometimes you got to rope 4, and sometimes you got to rope 5 to ultimately have an average time to win money.
And you're on a horse.
On a horse. All time. Yes, you're on a horse.
So you're on the horse, and I'm going to post a video that you showed me. I'm going to post a couple of videos of you on my website for this interview. But you're on the horse to give people a visual, and you got the lasso basically overhead, and you're roping these calves.
You're roping these calves at full speed, which your horse is standing still and then going to a full sprint, and you're trying to stay on the horse and get everything done without falling off and crashing.
Fuck, dude, it's hardcore. So how long ago did you start doing this?
Picked it up in 2009. Kind of played with it a little bit for a couple years. And wasn't until the last maybe 3 years that I really started to get serious with this. Started to put in the time and hang around the people I needed to hang around to get to where I'm at.
Oh, yeah, and so that's I love that part of the story. When did you... When you took it up and then you decided, you know what, I want to take this seriously? Did you, like, did something click over and you decided, you know, that's it, I'm going to give this 110% instead of just messing around?
You know what I think got me was I had a lot of my friends that roped, and I'd go with them, and I'd never seen results. I always went and entered and kind of made a clown out of myself, falling off my horse.
Oh, no shit.
Disaster. You know, got no one really wanted to rope with me. It was kind of just a clown, a shit show, man. And it wasn't until I figured out that something needed to change for me to get to where I needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where I kind of clicked over and I started to hang around a few individuals that really opened the door for me and really helped me get to where I was at, where I'm at right now.
And you went to, what's his name, Jake Barnes?
I started off with a gentleman by the name of Damien Padilla. He's a local.
Okay.
And I kind of started following his footsteps, kind of picked his style and went with that style and figured out that that was a style that I was going to take on. So I think that's where it really started to kind of take off, was just being around him, listening to him, watching him ride horses, watching his horsemanship, and watching his attitude. He always had a good attitude, a humble attitude. So I think once I've grasped a little bit of that, that's when I decided to take it to the next level, and I contacted Jake Barnes.
Talk about the first time that you went and saw Jake Barnes.
That was pretty funny. Went up to Scottsdale and I showed up not knowing what to expect, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe within the first 2 minutes I got humbled.
Mm-hmm.
Got off the truck and kind of just looked at me and said, man, what kind of clown are you? And
did he actually say that to you?
Basically, he just asked me. He's like, man, how do you present yourself with like that, you know, spurs backwards, equipment all messed up. Kind of donkey, pulling a donkey out of the trailer. And I mean, it really made me open my eyes and say, like, man, this guy's a real deal, you know? So that was odd. It was a pretty quiet ride back home. going up there and thinking I kind of knew what I was doing and coming back feeling horrible, man.
Really?
Yeah, just make me ask myself, what am I doing here?
You just got broken down.
Yeah, just basically humbled. I got humbled, you know?
And what kind of things was he saying to you? Just that, wasn't he telling you, like, oh, your shirt's not even tucked in? Like, you're
just the way you present yourself, you know, come up here with your shirt untucked, baggy pants. You gotta take some pride in yourself before anything. It's just a start, you know?
Yeah.
So it really made me open my eyes, man.
Was that like a turning point? God, that's funny. It's funny, like, that you had to have that kind of... Because I've been there too, where you walk in somewhere and you just, I don't know, you just, not that you think you're the shit, but you're just like, I know how to do this stuff. And someone just calls you out on everything.
Yeah, it was funny. I got called out even on my ropes, man. Like, I remember he opened my rope bag and pulled out all my ropes and just threw them in the trash can. Man, what do you say to that, you know? He just throws your equipment in the trash can, tells me to walk over to the room and go grab three good ropes. So I go over there, grab three good ropes, and he said, that's equipment you need to start using from now on. You're only as good as your equipment.
And then so as you drive back and you're deciding, and this was how long? This was 2 years ago, right? This is a while ago.
It's been about 3 years.
Okay.
And I think that was the first time that when I drove back, coming back home, I said, you know what? This guy's going to either break me or make me. And that's when I decided that I was going to put in 110% into this to get where I'm at. And, you know, by no means I don't consider myself a professional. It's just something that I took up and I'm starting to have success at it. But I guess considering yourself a professional is at a whole new level, you know, and I still don't consider myself there yet. But I'm definitely going to continue to on this path to get to there, you know?
Yeah, well, so yeah, this is the cool part to me. Yeah, and just get like, speak like a little closer. Yeah, there we go. The cool part to me is that you went from that day, which, like I said, everyone has those days where they realize they get broken down by somebody for something in their relationship, right? Like work, hobbies, roping, things like that. And then it's been 3 years since you met Jake that day.
Correct.
And now you're going in December to, is it a national championship?
It's the finals.
It's the finals.
Yeah.
So it's the World Series of Roping.
The World Series of Roping.
Okay. Yeah. And what, 300 grand is up for grabs?
There pays up to 300,000 for that weekend.
Okay. So yeah, so from 3 years ago, walking in and him basically saying, you're a fool, you're a clown, what the fuck are you doing? And you thinking that you knew what you were doing. And then now 3 years later, you're going to the World Series of Roping.
Yeah.
What's that process like? What were the main like factors that allowed you to stay with it that whole time too? That's a long time.
Yeah. I believe the biggest factor that took me there was my discipline. Was disciplining myself to put in the time.
Did you always have discipline, or did you build it up during?
Never had discipline.
Because we've talked about
always a clown.
Okay,
and never taking anything serious. Never really applied myself to do what I've wanted to do. You know,
I've always your potential. You mean? Or
yeah, I've just always been a clown. You know, as a class clown, always clowning around.
Yeah,
I think I never applied myself. You know, and I believe a lot of that came from fear, you know, and the fear of failure.
Oh yeah,
dude. You know what I mean. And this has really helped me become a different person in all aspects of life. I think a lot of people have that fear of failure, you know, and it holds them back from what they're really capable of doing because they're scared that they're gonna fail, you know. And I lost that fear. I lost that fear of failure. I've been able to accept failure and use failure as a drive. You know, a lot of people take shots at me wanting me to fail. A lot of people. And on the flip side, I've got a lot of people that support me. But with that being said, I'm going to use those people that take shots against me to come ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gives me more drive. It pushes me. You know, when I sit at home and I think, man, these people want me to fail. We can go outside and rope the dummy for 2-3 hours a night.
And
repetition, repetition. Yeah, mm-hmm. I literally rope the dummy 2-3 hours a day sometimes. So by no means was this something I just picked up overnight and got lucky. You know, a lot of people think they're going to get lucky. And very few people think, well, if I put in the hard work, I'm going to get to where I need to be. So I think it's helped me all around as a professional firefighter. It's helped me. And you know, I've had a lot of people that have motivated me. You know, I remember my captain there at the fire department telling me, you know, if you want to be successful, you got to hang around successful people.
It's true. Huh?
So I kind of went back and I thought about that. You know, what does he mean by this? And I figured out that I needed to pick a mentor, you know, maybe a few mentors. And Jake was one of them. Damon's a big one. And guys like my captain at work or guys that have really opened my eyes and say, you know, you want to be, there's good and then there's great. Which one do you want to be? And you got to surround yourself around people that are going to make you great. There's a lot of good people, but there's very few great people.
And how did you choose them?
You know, I took a lot of things into factor. I obviously picked Jake because he's a 7-time world champion. He's been to the big ones. He's been there. He's the Michael Jordan of this sport. And that's another guy that it really pushes me is Michael Jordan. And I know it sounds funny, but I mean, this guy got cut from high school. His high school team.
Yeah, sophomore. You know, year,
he accepted failure. He didn't fear. Didn't let failure take over him. He you know, he took failure and he overcame it and to become one of the greatest person, you know, people to ever play the sport of basketball. So and I know it's funny and people probably think, oh, you know, you're crazy using people like even Floyd Mayweather. You know, people don't like him because he's arrogant and he's all these things, but the guy's great at what he does.
Yeah.
And he was great. But he put in the work, he put in the discipline. So I know it's funny, again, I'll go back to it. They, you know, we use these people as people they're going to influence you for little, small things. And it doesn't even have to be somebody like that. You know, I just this last weekend I was in Las Cruces at a roping, and I had a guy come up to me and ask me, you know, if I was interested in a sponsorship. Mm-hmm. So we got to talking and kind of came out that I'm know Jake Barnes really, really well. And he asked me and he said, wow, man, he must be your one of your biggest heroes. And I you know, I looked at him and I said, no, you know, he's not. Well, what do you mean he's not? You know, he found that odd. And I said, well, man, you know, really one of the guys that I really look up to is Damon Padilla. And he said, looked at me and said, who's that? You know, so it doesn't have to necessarily mean that you have to pick a hero.
Right.
Or somebody famous to look up to because I didn't, you know.
It can be someone in your
life. Yeah, it could be someone in your everyday life.
That you emulate.
That, you know, you just pick up things that you like and what motivates you. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, if you don't have motivation to do something good, you're only going to get as far as your motivation.
Right.
It's either going to kill you or it's going to push you to the over the top. So, I think that comes with everyday life. You know, you got to have motivation and you got to have discipline. That discipline's what's going to push you over the edge and keep you going. And we're seeing results. Man, this sport will, yeah. this well, sport will so. Leave you with an empty heart.
Yeah.
You know, if you get over there and you put everything into it and you don't see results, you're going to, you know, some people are going to give up.
Well, so have you gone and failed?
Oh, yeah.
Multiple times?
Man.
And how do you keep at it? How did you develop since you went from having no discipline to having it? You had these mentors that you worked with. Were they the main component of building that discipline because they pushed you to keep going? Or did you build it from within? Or was it a combination? You know, how did you build that? You know, because I would like to know. I'm sure people listening, it's like everyone can build more discipline in their life and more. So how did you go from being class clown to having no discipline to building it so well?
You know, when I would go and rope, like I said, it was a shit show, man. Getting bucked off my horse or just having a disaster, man. And then I said, you know, what am I doing, man? I'm competitive. I want to win. And I think I just got tired of people talking shit, man. Oh, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
So that's when I buckled down and I said, you know what? I'm going to put in 110% of this. And if I get 50% out of it, then that's what I get. But I really believe if I put 110% in, I'm going to get 100%
yeah.
results. So I started slowly coming up. I started winning. And once I got a taste of winning, then it's like a drug. You know, I said, man, I put a little bit into this and I just got some results. I wonder what's going to happen if I put 150% into this.
And get 150% of results.
And yeah. Then I started to get results. So then I kind of use that drive even at work. You know, I use that drive to say, man, if I really apply myself, I'm going to move up in this department and start becoming, you know, higher kind of, you know. Mm-hmm. So I started to use all that stuff and then I started to see results and then I got hooked.
And so then it became this cascade effect throughout your life.
Yeah, I started saying, you know, maybe I'm not going to go out and drink tonight and yeah. party because I'm going to rope in the morning. So I'm going to really focus.
And you used to party a lot.
Yeah, I used to party a lot, man.
Yeah.
So, but I never took it serious.
Right.
You know, a lot of people go to the ropings and they drink and it's a party and I'm there to win. It's no longer a party for me no more. It's, I worked my ass off all week. Now I'm here to win. So, yeah, a lot of those guys pushed it on me to take it to the next level.
Take it seriously.
You know, there was a lot of times I looked in the magazines and I see all these professionals, which I really call professionals, the big names.
Yeah.
You know, I see a man at the ropings and they never talk to you. They kind of just walk by and you're just a nobody to them. Uh-huh. You know, and one day I said, you know what, I'm going to go enter with these guys. You're going to see what's up. So I went and entered and I got my ass kicked. But I came back with probably like one of the greatest accomplishments that I've ever, at the time I felt.
What's that?
Because I just got over fear.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I lost fear. From that day, I lost fear.
You were scared of entering that?
I was scared, yeah.
You were petrified of
work. Well, I was just like, man, what if I fall off my horse and these people probably think I'm stupid or all this stuff. So that day, I think I really lost fear. I lost it. You know, so I came back and I said, man, I remember one of my friends telling me, man, you're dumb. You entered that. You have no business with those guys. And I looked and I said, why? Why? Because I entered this roping with a group of professionals. And why am I dumb? You know, I didn't win a single dollar, but I lost fear. And once I lost fear, then once you lose fear, man, or fear of failure, you're unstoppable. You know what I mean? You always got to have fear because that's what keeps you safe. And
mm-hmm, sure,
I use that at work. You know, I have fear of a lot of things at work, but it keeps me safe.
Right.
But as long as I know what I've done to prepare myself, I feel confident, man.
Right.
And being confident, you know, right now I'm on a steamroll. I'm steamrolling through people because I'm confident. You know what I mean? I'm really confident in what I do.
And it's confidence through your work. It's a true confidence.
It's not confidence of just being cocky.
It's not exactly.
It's confidence of saying, man, I put in the time for this. I'm here to tear it up.
Right, right.
And it's that confidence of putting in the time. I look back and I say, I'm not just being confident because I'm cocky. I'm being confident because I roped that dummy 15 hours this week.
Right.
Because I rode my horses every day. Because I hung around good people. Because I watched good people. Because I roped with good people. So I'm not just being confident just because I say, oh, I'm the shit.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? I put in the time to feel that.
The confidence through competence.
Yeah.
Through it, yeah.
So now it feels, I look back now and I get to these ropings and those big name guys now ask me to rope. You know what I mean? You have guys that are making the finals come up and ask me to rope. So it gives me even more drive.
Yeah,
I want it more. You know what I mean? I want to enter the George Strait. I want to enter the BFI. I want to enter the Hork Dog. All these ropings that I want to enter that maybe back then I never even dreamed of it, you know?
And it's because you clicked over that loss of... You know, it's crazy, man, like how you said your friend told you, why are you even going to enter that with all those professionals, you know? And I think that happens a lot where good meaning people and true friends of yours can project their own fears and insecurities onto your life. And if you're not careful about seeing that for what it is, then you can get washed down. Like you said, if it's surrounded by a lot of people like that, could be a good guy, right? Great guy, but just is not in the mindset that you want to be in. And puts his own fears and says, hey, why are you even going in with those? You shouldn't even bother doing that. And if you're surrounded by 10 of those types of people, that's going to get in your head. And that's going to take you down, you know?
Yeah, and that's another thing I picked up is separating myself from negative people, man. Because there's a lot of them, I could tell you. There's people that take shots all the time. And then there's those guys that I run to. I kind of feel like a protection. I run back to them because they build me back up. You know, when I go to practice and that guy tells me, you know what? You keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing something right. You keep going for it. So that lifts me back up.
Yeah, totally.
You know? And then I go back and I hear these negative people and I just say, man, I don't need to surround myself around people like that. I want to surround myself again, people that are positive. They're going to keep me focused because you can easily be drawn into somebody's negative vibes, man.
Dude, yeah.
You know what I mean? Make you second guess yourself.
Hell yeah.
Make you think, yeah, what the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah.
So, of course, like I said, I always run back to those individuals that keep me driven, keep me motivated.
And they literally give you, it is literally like they give you energy. They give you that positive energy, like you said, that legitimately builds you back up.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's good nutrition for your soul.
Yeah, and I've learned to use those negative people to feed my fire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I call it a fire now.
Are you talking about like on Facebook and stuff? Or like where do these haters come from?
Like I just think in general, man, just, you see them.
You just see them.
You know,
just,
you see them at the ropings. Okay, you see them in the street. And they always want to just, they got something to say.
Okay.
You know, I've never heard them say, man, you know, look at this guy. He come up from the bottom. But again, that's insecurity. You know what I mean? They can't see somebody come up for the bottom because it's hard, man. It really is hard. Talk to people, talk to your friends and to accept failure, man. It'll eat you alive. You know what I mean? But people can't accept it. And so I think until you learn how to accept failure and turn it into a positive, man, that's when you're really, really going to notice how much potential you actually have. Because your own sky's the limit.
Yeah.
You know, I've said that to myself a million times. I'm going to be the judge of how far I can go right. with this. You know, the work I put into it is what I'm going to get out of it.
Right.
So I'm going to be my own sky's the limit.
There's a great quote that I think about all the time that says, you know, you're confined only by the walls you build yourself.
Yeah.
And that is, it's so true when you really break it down in your life about just why can't I do that? Or why have I not done that? And I think you're right, dude. It all comes back to fear of failing, dude. If you don't try 100%, then you can tell. I do this all the time. If I don't give 100%, then I can tell myself an excuse as to, well, of course I didn't win the race because I didn't give 100%. If I gave 100%, I probably would have won, right? This is me in my mind telling myself that. Like in high school and cross country, I still do it all the time, dude. I won't give 100% at something because then I can tell myself that if I failed, then I can say, well, it's because I didn't give 100%. But it's just like this mind game in my head that just fucks me over, right?
Yeah.
And you're right. And I think it stems from this ingrained fear of failure that people have. And once you break through with that, I mean, you're right. The sky, it sounds cliche as fuck, but the sky really is the limit after that.
Yeah.
But goddamn, it's ingrained in you, huh?
Well, it's,
so it, I'm impressed that it's very cool that you were able to finally break through those, like, your own personal barriers in that regard.
And I think that's what was really holding me back. And maybe in a lot of things in life, you know, was fear,
oh, yeah, it's
man.
Everywhere.
You know
no,
what
you,
I mean?
Oh, totally.
So I, you know, I wake up in the mornings and I tell myself, man, I created a monster.
Well, how so?
A monster within myself.
The failure, you mean? The fear of failure?
No, like, since I've gotten over that, I've created a monster.
A good monster. Okay.
A good monster within myself.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Fire.
I'm hungry now. You know what I mean? I show up and I'm hungry. I'm hungry to win. I kind of tell myself I've got ice running through my veins. I want it. You know, I tell myself nobody here wants it more than me.
And these are thoughts that you're repeating. Like, do you repeat them in your head?
Repeat them in my head when I get in the box. Nobody here works harder than me.
And the box is the initial starting point?
The initial starting point. Okay. Yeah. And these are things I tell myself.
Just throughout the day.
You know, nobody wants this more than me. I'm gonna put in the extra mile because I want it.
And as you're in the box about to start, what thoughts are you going through your head?
You know, I've learned to block out emotions,
uh-huh.
man. And I think a lot of that has to do with my professional career as a firefighter. You know, I've been put in some situations where they've really helped me. You know, good things you see in movies, man. And I know you hear like a lot of hero stories, and it's not always what you see in.
Yeah.
See in the movies, but I've really been put in situations where I have to block things out of my mind. You know, emotions block out stuff that's either gonna kill me or save me, you know, or save somebody else. But I think I've just learned use that also to block out the excitement of announcer saying you're about to win $10,000, or all you have to do is catch. So, I mean, you know, these announcers get you going. They get your mind thinking. They make you doubt yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start asking yourself, man, am I going to catch this next year? All I have to do is catch this next year to win.
Mm-hmm.
So I just learned to block that out. And that's another part of this game is being mentally prepared for the pressure. You know, how mentally prepared are you to rope in front of a crowd, to listen to people screaming or the emotions that you get caught up into? A lot of people, it eats them alive, you know. They rope good their first three steers, and then they get to the short round and they break down. They start doubting themselves. They start second guessing themselves. They have that fear of failure. So I just think it's helped me all around.
Removing yourself from those emotions.
Yeah, and just completely. Blocking myself out and saying, you know what? I'm going to give this 110%. And if I miss, then I'm going to come back tomorrow morning. I'm going to learn from it.
And now, are you... In order to block out those emotions, because like you said, that's a skill that can be used if you're giving a speech at work, if you're anywhere, anything in life, right? Are you blocking those emotions out by repeating thoughts in your head, or are you, have you developed this capacity to hear the announcer, hear the haters, and then basically just, do you even feel the emotion rise up anymore? And then you go, nope, not even going to look at you. Or is it, does it just, have you shut it off entirely?
I've just shut it off entirely.
By now. Just through practice and focusing on
just, it. Just focusing and going into like a
Zen state.
Man, you know, like a jet fighter when they lock into a target.
Yeah.
I'm locked into that target. That's all that's going through my mind.
You're completely in the zone.
I just want to destroy him. I'm so focused and locked into that target that I hear noise in the background, but it's blocked out, man.
And have you developed that ability to do that?
I just developed. Because
when you first started, you were all over the place.
I was all over the place listening to, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry over there telling me I'm going to miss, or you know what I mean? Telling myself I'm going to fall off this horse in front of a lot of people. But I just blocked it out, man.
And it took you some time. It took you time and you developed it like a muscle.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just developed it, you know? And I think work had a lot to do with it. And mm-hmm. I think, man, I just think when you want something, when you truly want something, you open new doors, man. To really, there's a difference. Everyone say, oh, yeah, I want this. I wish I could do this. But until you really apply yourself to say, I want to be great, or I want to get somewhere, you're really going to put down. You ever read a book and you can just open a book and look, start reading it, and you're like, whatever. But then you open a book and you say, man, I'm really interested in this.
Yeah.
So you really apply yourself to pay attention to that book, yeah. Read it. It's the same thing. You know, if you just open a random book and look at it and you don't have no interest in it, you're not going to pay attention. You're going to read 3 or 4 pages of it and forget.
Or you're reading it, but you're not reading
it. Yeah, you're not reading it. You're just not reading it. Yeah, you know, but when you really open something up and you're focused on it, man, you go into it and you really do pay attention. And that's the same with this. This is something that I really want.
Yeah.
And I applied myself, and now it's become a drug, man. You know, all I want, I literally eat, sleep, rope is what goes through my mind. All I want to do is rope. All I want to do is think roping. All I want to do is talk roping. I just want it. You know what I mean?
It's, yeah.
It's pretty serious. It's intense, man.
Yeah.
I want it. And the only way for me to get it is to put in that discipline. You know, I talk to kids. I help coach Little League baseball. And, you know, I see some of these kids I want to do it. Well, what are you waiting for? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I ask them. But then again, man, a lot of people can't flip that switch.
No.
You know, what I've asked myself is, how did I flip that switch?
I was just about to ask you that.
You know, how did I do it?
How did you do it?
You know, I just flipped that switch.
Was it a moment? Was it a morning you woke up? Was it after you drove home from Jake, you were driving the car and was there a particular moment where it happened?
You know, I think it came over a process of time.
Okay. It was like a few months or something.
Yeah, I just started roping. You know, I started catching. Then I got a few checks here and there. And then I said, you know what? This isn't cutting it for me. It's like a drug. This drug ain't doing it for me no more. I need more.
Okay.
So that's when I just cranked down.
Okay. And so yeah, I'm just, I guess what was the, yeah. So I'm just, yeah, I'm curious if there was a, so it was like, I'm going to give this some effort, and then you gave it a little more effort, and then it's like, oh, I see some results, and you're like, okay, like you said earlier. So there wasn't a particular like,
no, boom, I think it was
where you switched over. It just was like this build up to all of a sudden you're given 150% and you're in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think once I saw a little bit, man, I made that, just that switch. You made and that said, switch, you know, over. What if I put in a little bit into
and
this?
And did you ever go back on it? Because I think a lot of times what happens to, you know, what happens is you make this commitment, right? To health, to roping, to your family, your relationship, and you last a while. You last a while, and then eventually you start to slip, and then you slip a little farther, and then all of a sudden you're back to baseline or worse, and you've regressed, right? I think that happens a lot.
Yeah, I think that happens to a lot of people.
Did that happen to you once you started getting into it? Yeah, did you ever regress from that discipline, or just were you able to maintain it at a constant and uprising speed?
I don't think I've been able to maintain it. I just think I keep pushing it to the next level.
Okay.
So I'm not good with maintaining it. You know, maintaining it for me is accepting where you're at.
But I mean, you haven't slipped.
No. I think I'm just getting stronger, man. Like, yeah. You know, and like I said, maintaining it for me is settling for good, you know, and I'm not ready to settle for that. I mean, I've got goals, and maybe my goals are out of this world, but roping with professionals were out of my world when I started, you know?
And now it is your world.
Now it's
legitimately your world.
Huh? Now I'm there. I'm getting to rope with these guys and getting to be around them. And so, you know, I look back later, I would have never thought I was going to ever be even near where they're at.
Yeah,
and I'm not, you know.
Sure.
But I'm definitely, you know, able to rope with some of them and compete, you know.
You're going to like you said, the World Series of Roping.
Yeah, and those are, yeah. And it's not, maybe not as big, but it's just, man, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I don't consider myself a professional by any means, but I, you know, I've got plans, I've got goals, and man.
The best thing too about these types of processes is that you go to the world, you know, those championships in Vegas in December, you know, you win or you lose. But like you said, the person that you now have become in the process of working towards these goals is more important or more valuable than if you get the fucking goal or not.
Yeah,
like that person that you've created now, right? Like the man you've become through that process.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a win in itself.
Yeah, you know? It is. Yeah,
and with that, man, I've helped people out during the, you know, I get people that, you know, the same people that throw shots at me come back to me and ask me, hey, man. You know, they don't want to say it in front of people, but they, man, you know, how are you doing this?
Yeah.
You know, and I tell them, man, you got to want it. You know, nobody can push it on you.
Yeah.
Nobody can dump this on you. It's got to be something that comes from you. And so I, you know, and that feels good too, because that those same guys that take shots, they realize it and they come up and ask, hey, man, shit, you know, how'd you do it?
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah, I think it affects everyone.
Yeah,
you know, and that gives me, I'll go back to it. That gives me more drive.
Yeah.
So I think that's the biggest thing, but is that, man?
Yeah.
You got to put in. You got to be disciplined in every aspect. You know, it even takes down to like, you know, I'm gonna start running to lose a little bit of extra weight so my horse doesn't have to carry a few extra pounds. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot into this.
Oh, is that why I see you running by now?
Yeah, you know, so I say, man, you know, this guy's doing his job. I need to take care of him, make it easier for him. So there's a lot of things that play into this thing. It's not just jumping on him and go rope.
Right.
You know, there's
right.
a lot of factors that are built up.
Sure.
Into this to get where you got to go. Yeah. You got to have goals, man.
Yeah.
You got to set a goal and you got to accomplish that goal. And when you get to that goal, you got to set another goal. You can't settle for good, man. You know, and I repeat that, and I'll always repeat it. Don't settle for good. You know, push yourself to the next level, and you're gonna see results, man.
That's fucking great. That can be the mantra of this podcast from now on, dude. Don't settle for good.
Don't no.
If you do that in every aspect of your life, imagine, like you said, you started applying it to work. Now you're an engineer, right?
Yeah.
What else did you apply to?
I think that so far, man.
Your job
is just my job, and that's all you have time for. Sport. Yeah, and then literally that's all I do now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I get home and I rope.
Yeah,
and I rope the dummy, and I rope the dummy, and I rope the dummy. So it just becomes repetition.
Yeah,
and when I get bored, I ask myself, "Somebody else is roping the dummy. You know what? I better rope the dummy."
And you're going after this. You're going to head off and go rope right now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to go and practice and and get ready and.
And where can where can people see you at the championships? Where is that for the listeners? If anyone's going to be in Vegas, when are those championships?
It's in December, I believe, the December 8th through the 12th at the World Series. It's the South Point Casino.
Okay.
I'm sure they'll have something like on, I don't know what that's called when they stream it, a live stream.
Yeah, live stream, yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be, it's something that you can probably live stream on the internet.
Okay, cool, yeah.
But that's, I think the message of all this was that, man.
Don't settle for
good. Don't settle for good, and you got to lose that fear of failure. Once you've done that, man, and it's going to help you in all aspects of life. Because, again, what I've come to learn of all this is you hold yourself back because you're scared to fail.
Hey, thanks again for listening. A little bit of an abrupt ending there. The last 30 seconds or so got cut off. And if you heard any other audio mishaps, it's not you. It's me figuring out all this new stuff, which I did. But there's a little couple glitches in there. So I hope you got through that. And I hope you really enjoyed that episode. Tune in next week. I'm going to have one of the most inspirational guys I've ever talked to on here. Best-selling author and venture capitalist Kamal Ravikant talks about the new release of his book. And we get into some really deep stuff. So I'm excited to put that out for you guys. Leave me an iTunes review if you enjoyed this show. And I will see you guys soon. Later.